Today, I want to speak with you on a very familiar topic. I know it's just a few days ago we celebrated Valentine's, and I can sense that love is in the air. Amen? And so I believe that each person can relate to the message today, perfect love. I want to share a little bit of history with you. As a young boy, I grew up in the church. I could say that I was born in the very pews of the church, because Since I understood myself to be going church, to be going to church, right? My mother raised me in the church. I loved church. I was very involved in church. I could remember 13 Sabbaths reciting my scripture readings and reciting my memory text and all that sort of stuff. Church was beautiful, but it came to a point as a young man, as a young boy, when I didn't want to go to church anymore. I felt like I could make my own decisions, and I decided that I didn't want to go to church anymore. I was free from the persuasion of my mother, and on my own, and being able to make my own decision, I decided to stop. You see, beloved friends, but despite that, I'm standing before you today. And I want to say, were it not for grace, where would each of us be? That was a beautiful video speaking about the mercy of God. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If you don't know anything else about me, know this, that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I'm saying this, beloved friends, because even though I grew up in the church, loved the church, I still walked away from the church. But I came back to the church when I found the love of God. And today, beloved friends, we're going to talk about finding that perfect love and what it means. And let me say, to love the church is a whole lot different from loving God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our Savior, here we are again. Your people have come by way of your invitation to come. We've come to this hallowed spot, O God, to meet you, because you commanded us to be here today. And Lord, we're coming in need of comfort, in need of healing, in need of leading, O God, in need of your sweet Holy Spirit. And so now, Father God, we pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you will bathe and baptize us and wash us anew. O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move up and down in this place, and that hearts will be changed and lives will be changed. And the way that we came this morning, we will leave here different persons, revived and refreshed by being in your presence. Holy God, we pray that you will take full control of this service, and the enemy will have no dominion in this place. And we pray, God, that when we finally go home, we can rejoice saying that we have been in the presence of the Lord. I commit myself to you, God, as I speak to your people. And I pray, Lord, that you will take my words and mingle it with your righteousness and present it to your people so that their hearts will be blessed. Hide me behind the old rugged cross, O God. Let my face not be seen, nor my voice be heard, but Jesus' name lifted up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You see, it is said, beloved friends, that the Bible, in its truest sense, B-I-B-L-E, means basic instructions before leaving earth. You see, it is a book that has been through the test of times. It is a book appreciated not only by Christians, but also by historians, men of non-religious persuasions. Let me give you some brief facts about the Bible. 20 million copies of this book is sold each year. The Gideon Society shares over 60 million copies each year, and it is the world's best-selling book. Somebody say, what a book. You see, for us today, beloved friends, we are persuaded that the Word of God is the Bible, that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? Paul in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says that all scriptures are given by inspiration and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Given to God's people for doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction. I want to suggest also, beloved friends, I did a little search of the Bible as it relates to our topic today, and I found that the Bible records over 686 times the word love, from Genesis to Revelation. I said to myself, this is very interesting, because if this book that is so revered in Christian societies, the book that we believe with all our hearts is the Word of God, records love so much times, this must be an integral principle to what we believe in, as to what we believe as Christians and as Seventh-day Adventists. So I did my research on the word love and found some very interesting things that I would like to present to you today. I found that there are four Greek words for love. And each of these types of love have different meanings and different intent. And we're going to break it down today for you. The first one is filial. The second one that you are familiar with is the agape love. The third is the storge, and the fourth is the eros. What did I say? The filial, the agape, the storge, and the eros. And so the etymology of the word love here, the Greek word for love, is adapted from the Precept Ministries International. And this is what filial means. Filial is a companionable love. You see, this type of love speaks of affection, fondness, or liking. It is a love that is called out of one's heart as a response to pleasure that one takes in a person or an object. You see, beloved friends, filial is a love that responds to kindness, appreciation, or love. It involves giving as well as receiving, but when it is greatly strained, it can collapse in a crisis. This is not the perfect love God is talking about, because the filial is a higher love than eros, because it is our happiness rather than my happiness. This love is called out of one's heart by the qualities in another. Let me give you some examples. It is used in the New Testament a few times, and it's often contrasted with the agape love. One example is in Matthew 6, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Matthew 6, verse 5. The Bible tells us, Matthew 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. We can stop there. So that is the kind of love that filial is talking about. Then we go to the agape love. The agape love is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object that is loved. It is a love of esteem, of evaluation. It has the idea of prizing. It is the noblest word for love in the Greek language. You see, the agape love, beloved friends, is not kindled by the merit or worth of its object, but it originates in its own God-given nature. God is love. This love keeps on loving, even when the loved one is unresponsive, unkind, unlovable, unworthy, it is an unconditional love. You see, the agape love desires only the good of the loved one. It is a consuming passion for the well-being of others. I don't know what this is saying to you today, beloved friends, but the message here that God is calling us to love each other. The other type of love we're going to go briefly is the storge. This love has its basis in its own, in one's own nature. You see, the storge is a natural affection or natural obligation. It is a natural movement of the soul for husband, wife, child, or dog. It is a quiet, abiding feeling within a man that rests on something close to him and that he feels good about. Moving on to Eros. Eros is the erotic love. Eros is a love of passion, an overmastering passion that seizes and absorbs itself into the mind. It is a love that is emotional involvement based on body chemistry. This Eros, the basic idea that it is a selfish, self-satisfying love. And though Eros is directed towards another, it actually has self in mind. For example, I love you because you make me happy. We're talking about love, beloved friends. Sister White speaks about love in her book, The Great Hope. And she says that sin is the expression of a principle that is at war with the law of love, which is the foundation of the government, of God's government. She says in Christ's object lesson, love must be the principle of action. Love is the underlying principle of God's government in heaven and earth, and it must be the foundation of Christian's character. This alone can make and keep him steadfast. This alone can enable him to withstand trial and temptation. We're talking about God's perfect love. A few more scriptural references gave rise to some amazing associations with love. Turn your Bibles with me, beloved, to 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. And the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? And everyone that loveth is born of who? And knoweth who? He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, above all things, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. If you want to hear more about love, beloved friends, turn your Bibles to John 15 verse 3. And it's verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thinking about a song that says, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. If you want to learn more about the love of God, turn to John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're talking about the perfect love. Romans 8, verse 28, and if we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called to his purpose. Turn your Bibles to our scripture reading and let us look at it in more detail. 1 John 4, verse 18. What is the Bible saying to us today, beloved? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Don't miss this, my friends. You see, the Greek word used in 1 John 4, verse 18, for love is the agape love. Let us recap what the agape love is. You see, the agape love, beloved friends, comes out of the precious of one's heart by the preciousness of the object that is love. It is a love of esteem, of evaluation. It has the idea of prizing. You see, the agape love, beloved friends, the most important thing, it is not kindled by the merit or worth of its object, but it originates in its own God-given nature. And this is the kind of love that our scripture reading is talking about today. This love keeps on loving even when the loved one is unresponsive, unkind, unlovable, and unworthy. It is an unconditional love. And we are called today, beloved friends, to love our brothers with this agape love. We are called today, beloved friends, to show love to the entire world. But there are some other terms in our scripture reading that we must understand before we can get the full picture of what the text is saying to us today. The Greek word used here for perfect is teleia. And this word means having reached its end, complete. The Greek word used here for fear is phobos. And phobos means panic, flight, fear, causing fear or terror. And so if we read the text again with these understanding in mind, beloved friends, we come to the conclusion that this perfect love cannot exist when fear is there. We'll expound on that a little more. You see, perfect love, beloved friends, was sent to you in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 1 John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the agape love, beloved friends, because God did not love us because we loved him, but he loved us because of his own loving nature. The message for us today, beloved friends, that no matter how low you think you are, no matter how far you think you have gotten, God's love is still right there in your corner. You may think that you are nothing. You may think that you are beyond the salvation of God. But nothing will separate you from God's love. Paul says a little bit about love here in Romans 8, verse 35 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. For I am persuaded, I am convinced beyond everything, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, no height, no death, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessed assurance that is for us today, beloved friends, that nothing shall separate you from the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. You see, beloved friends, God's love reaches out to you today in this very moment. Reaches out to you today in this very moment. It reaches out to you in your distress. Reaches out to you in your pain. And God is always near. You see, it is this kind of love so complete that cast out all fear. You see, fear and love cannot coexist. Let me give you a practical experience. I'm happy that my beautiful wife is here with me today. And I cannot love this woman completely if I'm afraid of her. Amen, friends? We cannot love, perfect love and fear cannot coexist. And that is why the Bible says to us that perfect love casteth out all fear. You see, with this knowledge of this perfect love of God, there's so much things to fear in this world. But God is saying to us today that if you believe in this perfect love that I have for you, you have nothing to fear. So much to fear in this world, so much anxiety, so much cause for worry and concern. We have sickness and disease to worry about. We have violence and crime to worry about, natural disasters to worry about. We have criminals to worry about, getting robbed to worry about. We have our own mortality to be afraid of. But God is saying to you today, beloved friends, that as a true Christian that believes in his perfect love, you are persuaded that nothing will separate you from that love, that today you have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. You want to be afraid of the days that you don't know what is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen next year. We don't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus. We don't know what's going to happen over the United States. We don't know if there's going to be another war in this world. So much uncertainties, so much things to be afraid of. But the message for God's people today is that perfect love casteth out all these fears and anxieties. Why? Because we know that through all this, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Through all this, no matter what comes, beloved friends, we know that Jesus Christ is there with me. I know this song says, because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, a life is worth a living because he lives. You see, beloved friends, it was the result of perfect love. It was fear, why Adam and Eve hid in the garden. But it was love that called them out. It was love why Noah's family was saved. It was love why Lot was saved. It was fear why Moses fled Egypt. But it was love that brought him back to lead the Israelites out. It was fear that troubled the Israelites when they came to a Red Sea and a pursuing army behind them. And the geography of the area was difficult. They were in a tight position. But it was love that separated the sea and made a path for them to go through. Somebody say hallelujah. Because just when we need him most, the love of God shows up. I'm here to tell you today that you may feel that you're in a tight situation. And you don't know if the love of God is going to turn up. I'm here to remind you that your time is not God's time. I'm here to let you know that he will show up for you just when you need him most. Just as he did for the Israelites. Just as he did for the Hebrew boys. He will be there for you. You see, it was love that swallowed Jonah when he was sent on a mission but decided to do otherwise. It was love that lifted up David after he saw and did what he did. It was love that helped Jeremiah to endure his moments of testing and trying. It was love that spoke through Isaiah to an apostate people. It was love that compelled the Hebrew boys to stand even though the entire crowd was bowing to a statue. And it was love that stood with them in the fiery furnace. Our beloved friends, I want to let you know today that when you stand up for God, He will stand up for you. Amen. No matter how tough the times get, God will stand up for you. You see, it was love sleeping with Daniel in the lion's den. It was love when Malachi was called to do his work. It was love in the manger that night in Bethlehem. It was love in the hem of the garment when that lady, sick for many years, afraid to press and get close to Jesus, but only found courage enough to touch the hem of his garment. It was love that made her whole again. You see, beloved friends, it was love in the sweet words of relief that Jesus spoke to many and said, "Go and sin no more." It was love in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus cried tears for you. You see, it was love on the lowly hill of Golgotha when Jesus Christ laid down his life for all of us. It was love when the nails pierced his wrist, when he gave his life for you and me. It was love, beloved friends, that met Paul on the road to Damascus, a young man persecuting the Christians left, right, and center. But it was love that changed his situation. It was love that brought peace to a fleeing, to those Christians fleeing persecution in the dark ages. It was love that sustained God's church in those dark times. It was love that woke you up this morning and brought you to this place. And it is love, beloved friends, that keeps the evil tide from overtaking us. If you feel that God's love is not present in your life, take a moment and just inhale and exhale. It is God's love that permits your breath. Beloved friends, I'm here to remind you that perfect love casts out all anxiety and fear in your life. I hear a songwriter say, "Oh, how sweet it is to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more." You see, God's love has never failed. And so there exists no reason for us not to trust in his unconditional love. I've got three questions for you today. What does this mean for our lives today? If this perfect love still exists, what does this mean for our lives today? What does this perfect love mean for our churches today? What does it mean for our ministries today? With love being such an important component in Christian life, I am going to make a very bold statement today. I believe, beloved friends, that we cannot get to heaven if love has not been perfected in us. You see, if love governs the throne of God, love must govern our lives. If love governs the throne of God, it must govern the church. And if love governs the throne of God, it must be the thing that impacts the ministry of the church. Amen? It must impact how we treat our neighbors. John 4, First John 4 verse 20 to 21 says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Have mercy. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. The message is clear. John 4 verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. What's the message here for us, beloved? We are called with a holy calling. Do you believe that? We are a special people living in a very special time. You see, I believe with all my heart that we are living in Earth's last days. We are called in a very special time. Understand that, beloved friends, that you're not here in Bear Roberts Church. You're not living in this community by chance. But God has called you here to be a faithful witness in a very special time. But God has called you to the ministry of love, to speak a language of love here in Bay Roberts. God is calling you to show love in such a... You see, beloved friends, for too long, we've tried to impress upon people the right ways of living. But what we need to be doing today is loving people into heaven. I remember a long time ago, we used to have this, you know, the scare tactics where a sermon will be so strong that it scares people into believing that God is coming right now and they got to get baptized and stuff. But we got to love people into the arms of God. You see, when you love people into heaven, they stay right there. When you introduce them to this agape unconditional love, it does not only help them, but it helps you because you're fulfilling the mandate of God. We are called to a ministry of love, beloved friends, to love people as God loved us. Is it too hard? Is it too hard? Because if you know the love of God, I believe it is easier to show that same love to your brothers and sisters. One of the greatest statements in the Adventist Church, and it's found in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, it says, for God, for the love of Christ constrains us. The AY motto. The young people have the motto, for the love of Christ compels us. What does this mean, beloved friends? I found in the three Hebrew boys this perfect example. For the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ constrains us. They loved God so much that they dare not bow to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar put up. They said, even if our God does not save us, we will not bow. You see, this is the sort of commitment that God is calling us to. That his love and our love for him compels us in such a way that we will never do anything to hurt him. Never do anything, beloved friends, to cause disrepute on Jesus' name. We are called to the ministry of love. I'm breaking it down for you, beloved friends. You see, it means that our entire life should be ruled by the love of God. Our entire life should be ruled by the love of God. Let your love for God and his love for you compel your every action, thought, word, and deed every second of every day. That is the ministry of love that God is calling us to do, to live. You see, love was stretched out on Calvary's cross for you. Love laid in a manger in Bethlehem, and love reaches out to you today, beloved friends. There's still a soft voice that speaks to our hearts. If we only listen, we will hear Jesus Christ reaching out to a sin-sick soul. We'll hear Jesus Christ reaching out to someone who just wants to go home. The Bible says, if you are heavy labored and heavy laden, he will give you rest. Love seeks you out today, beloved friends. Love calls us to something greater. Love is calling us to a closer walk with God. Love is calling us, beloved friends, to understand today that there is nothing in this world that we can pursue that will give us any consolation, that will give us any peace outside of the love of God. Today, beloved friends, I want to believe with all my heart and always pray and say, if I wake up another morning, if I wake up, it's indicative that God is not done with me yet. And I believe that we all can say that assuredly today, that God is not done with you yet. There's still a work for you to do in your workplace. There's still a neighbor for you to reach. There's still someone that God wants you to touch their life. There's still a work for you today. And God is reminding us today that this is our work. Our work is to love one another as he has loved us. Our work is to love your brother into heaven. Love him so much that you will care if he doesn't turn up to church one week. Love him so much that you will reach out to him in his pain. Love him so much, beloved friends, that you will seek him out if he even wrongs you. God is calling us to something greater, beloved friends. And I pray that going forward today, that we'll speak the language of perfect love. That we'll let love lead our lives in all aspects, recognizing that in this life, we may not have a full understanding of what perfect love means. But remember this, that nothing shall separate you from God's perfect love. You see, it's no merit of you. God did not love you because of anything that you have. He did not love you because of any good thing that you did. But he just loved you because God is love. He just loved you because that's his nature. Understand, beloved friends, that salvation is yours, made possible through the love of God. Today I want to remind you, and this text comes to us from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and thy length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. Jesus Christ is coming again. Whether you are ready or not, he's coming again. That's a fact. But today we all have the opportunity to make our calling and election sure. And I pray, beloved friends, that perfect love will become our daily reality. Understanding the perfect love that God has for you and the calling on your life to exhibit this same perfect love. I pray, beloved friends, that as you commit to the principle of love, that the Holy Spirit will show you whom you need to reach. My appeal today is very simple. If today is the first time that you have heard about this man Jesus, and you just want to say, God, I've been doing it all wrong all this time, and I want your perfect love in my heart, won't you just raise your hands if that's you today? And my second appeal is a commitment to perfect love for all of us. You realize that you can do more. You realize that you have not lived up fully to the extent that God has called you. You realize that there's much more to do when we commit to the principle of perfect love. And if that's you, just raise your hands and we'll pray together as we come to a close. You see, beloved friends, time is running out. And there's no more time to play church, no more time to play around with our salvation. It's going home time, friends. It's going home time. And I believe that soon Jesus will come. The books are open and our names are coming up. And soon Jesus will come. And I pray, Lord, I pray, my friends, that we all will make it over yonder. And over there, we can explore the principle even more about perfect love. Won't you stand with me as we pray? Our loving Father and our God, we have heard your words. You have spoken to us, O God, and we have heard. We pray, Lord, that perfect love will be our reality from this day going forward. Understanding, God, that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. You love us so much, Lord, that you left the splendor of heaven, knowing quite well that your destination was Calvary's Hill. And when you were on the cross, we were on your mind. Big Robert's Church was on your mind when you were on the cross. And Father, you still went all the way. And we give you thanks. Lord, we also recognize that you are calling us to show this same perfect love that you showed for us by dying on the cross. You're calling us, God, to a much greater ministry, to show each individual that we come across your perfect love, to demonstrate that Jesus lives in us and lives in this world still today. This is an awesome calling. And we pray, Father, that we will lift up the mantle and go with it bravely, understanding, Father, that your perfect love has casted out all fear. Understanding, Lord, that your people have nothing to fear of future days because you love us and you have promised us, beloved, you have promised us, God, that all things will be well. We already know the end of the story. And so, Father, I pray that we'll go bravely knowing that you are with us. And we pray, God, as we leave today and as we fellowship today, that you will be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.